in the limelight.
Using the same deceitful tactics they pioneered in Vietnam, U.S. political and military officials repeatedly misled the country about the prospects of success in Afghanistan. Numerous documents largely ignored by the public proved that U.S. officials knew what they were saying was false, just as happened so many times in prior wars, and even deliberately doctored information to enable their lies, says Glenn Greenwald, writer, in an article published under the heading, U.S. government lied for 2 decades about Afghanistan. Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. The Taliban regime is coming to an end, announced President George W. Bush at the National Museum of Women in the Arts on December 12, 2001. Almost 20 years ago today, 5 months later, Bush vowed, in the United States of America, the terrorists have chosen a foe unlike they have faced before. We will stay until the mission is done. 4 years ago after that, in August of 2006, Bush announced, Al-Qaeda and the Taliban lost a coveted base in Afghanistan and they know they will never reclaim it when democracy succeeds. The days of the Taliban are over. The future of Afghanistan belongs to the people of Afghanistan. For 2 decades, the message Americans heard from their political and military leaders about the country's longest war was the same. America is winning. The Taliban is on the verge of permanent obliteration. The U.S. is fortifying the Afghan security forces, which are close to being able to stand on their own and defend the government and the country. Just weeks ago, on July 8, President Biden stood in the East Room of the White House and insisted that a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan was not inevitable because, while their willingness to do so might be in doubt, the Afghan government and leadership clearly have the capacity to sustain the government in place. Biden then vehemently denied the accuracy of a reporter's assertion that your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse. Biden snapped, "This is not true. They did not reach that conclusion." Biden continued his assurances by insisting that the likelihood there is going to be one unified government in Afghanistan controlling the whole country is highly unlikely. He went further, the likelihood that there is going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely. And then is an exchange that will likely assume historic importance in terms of its sheer falsity. From a presidential podium, Biden issued a decree. When asked about the Taliban being stronger than ever after 20 years of U.S. warfare there, Biden claimed, relative to the training and capacity of the Afghan National Security Forces and the training of the federal police, they're not even close in terms of their capacity. On July 21st, General Mark Milley, Biden's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, conceded that there is a possibility of a complete Taliban takeover or the possibility of any number of other scenarios, yet insisted, the Afghan security forces have the capacity to sufficiently fight and defend their country. Similar assurances have been given by the U.S. government and military leadership to the American people since the start of the so-called War on Terror. Are we losing this war? Army Major General Jeffrey Schulzer, commander of the 101st Airborne Division, asked rhetorically a news briefing from Afghanistan in 2008, answering it this way. Absolutely no way. Can the enemy win it? Absolutely no way. On September 4, 2013, then-Lieutenant General Milley, now Biden's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, complained that the media was not giving enough credit to the progress they had made in building up the Afghan National Security Forces. This army and this police force have been very, very effective in combat against insurgents every single day, General Milley insisted. None of this was true. It was always a lie, designed first to justify the U.S. endless occupation of that country, and then, once the U.S. was poised to withdraw, and to concoct a pleasing fairy tale about why the prior 20 years were not, at best, an utter waste. That these claims were false cannot be reasonably disputed as the world watches the Taliban takeover of all of Afghanistan as if the vaunted Afghan National Security Forces were the dolls using paper weapons. But how do we know that these statements made over the course of two decades were actual lies rather than just the widely wrong claims delivered with sincerity? To begin with, we have seen these tactics from U.S. officials lying to the American public about wars to justify both their initiation and continuation over and over. The Vietnam War, like the Iraq War, was begun with a complete fabrication disseminated by the intelligence community and endorsed by corporate media outlets, that the North Vietnamese had launched an unprovoked attack on U.S. ships in the Gulf of Tonkin. In 2011, President Obama, who ultimately ignored a congressional vote against authorization of his involvement in the war in Libya to topple Muammar Gaddafi, justified the NATO war by denying that regime change was the goal. Our military mission is narrowly focused on saving lives. Broadening our military mission to include regime change would be a mistake. Even as Obama issued those false assurances, the New York Times reported that the American military has been carrying out an expansive and increasingly potent air campaign to compel the Libyan army to turn against Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. As they did for the war in Afghanistan, U.S. political and military leaders lied for years to the American public about the prospects for winning in Vietnam. On June 13, 1971, the New York Times published reports about thousands of pages of top-secret documents from military planners that came to be known as the Pentagon Papers, provided by former RAND official Daniel Ellsberg, who said he could not, in good conscience, allowed the official lies about the Vietnam War to continue. Documents revealed that U.S. officials in secret were far more pessimistic about the prospects for defeating the North Vietnamese than their boastful public statements suggested. In 2021, the New York Times recalled some of the lies that were demonstrated by that archive on the 50th anniversary of its publication. There was virtually nothing that could happen in Afghanistan without the U.S. intelligence community's knowledge. There is simply no way that they got everything so completely wrong while innocently and sincerely trying to tell American the truth about what was happening there. We'll be right back. In sum, U.S. political and military leaders have been lying to the American public for two decades about the prospects for success in Afghanistan generally and the strength and capacity of Afghan security forces in particular. Up through 5 weeks ago, when Biden angrily dismissed the notion that U.S. withdrawal would result in a quick and complete Taliban takeover. Numerous documents largely ignored by the public proved that U.S. officials knew what they were saying was false, just as happened so many times in prior wars, and even deliberately doctored information to enable their lies. Any residual doubt about the falsity of those two decades of optimistic claims has been obliterated by the easy, enlightening, fast blitzkrieg whereby the Taliban took back control of Afghanistan as if the vaunted Afghan military did not even exist, as if it were August 21 all over again. It is vital not just to take note of how easily and frequently US leaders lie to the public about its wars once those lies are revealed at the end of those wars, but also to remember this vital lesson the next time US leaders propose a new war using the same tactics of manipulation, lies, and deceit.